Podleadum.
Top motto.
All the cycles. Lead, 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 lead.
Not backwards.
Dumb.
Podleadum, Podleadum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podleadum. That's Top Model Podcast spelled backwards, or maybe we're spelling Tyra Screen backwards.
Yeah, you got my pattern.
Yeah,
I really wanted you to say that's Top Model Bonus spelled backwards.
Hey, everyone, we don't have quotes, but it's your same three. It's
you know
your
who
same
we are.
Three. And just like Tyra, we're getting a little casual.
Lex, Han, Jay, Dubs.
Yeah. Oh, Lex, Han, and Dubs is actually very cute.
A hat. I hate everything. I am logging out of this, and the episode will not be edited.
Great. Head up. We can finally talk about Greek alone.
No, you're going to talk about that Sweet Valley High.
Oh, reboot.
I sent Tana the part she has to play. Her Real. Character dies in an earthquake. Ooh. We teased this a couple of episodes ago, but we've just gotten so much email, messages, etc. lately, like a holiday gift that y'all are giving us. So we wanted to go ahead and just do an extra mailbag episodes because I really like these. And we also very specifically have gotten a lot of emails that I think will elicit that hot convo.
Start the conversation.
And what better place to put it than on their 22-hour flight to New Zealand.
Exactly.
Backwards Imagine or forwards in time.
Yeah. If you are traveling and you are bobbleheading right now, this is the perfect thing to put on. So let's just dive in. Splish.
Splash.
Yep.
Fix splash.
Taking a bath. Fix splash. He's so
Cocoa mint splash.
The things that are going to follow the three of us for the rest of our lives.
Alexander Hat, Fig Splash.
I am.
And oh my God.
Oh my God.
My God.
There was one you did in a recent episode where you go, oh my, and then you don't end the God. And I out loud go, God, like to myself, finishing your sentence. First email is from John. Hi, Hannah, Alexander, and JW. Huge fan of the pod. I tune in every Wednesday religiously and have written in before. I was the one who suggested an All Sarah's and Britney's season. I remember that one. One topic I thought would be fun would be dissecting the promo photos from each of the first 13 cycles. I remember seeing these as ads, typically in tabloids like People and In Touch, which I don't consider People a tabloid, but I love that you do.
I was going to say, real quick thing about People. I'm currently reading Red, White, and Royal Blue, and the disdain for People magazine in that book.
But really, everybody read it. It's so good.
It's good.
It's good. It's round. It's very round. As an impressionable gay 12-year-old, I would play judge and try to guess which models would make it to the top three in each cycle based on these photos. I don't think I ever got close to being right. But some of these themes are totally ridiculous, even for a show like Top Model. And they, John, included the link, which I have now sent to them. And the first one here, this is a Reddit post. And the first one, I think, is cycle three.
It is three.
It is.
Yeah. And they probably just didn't have good ads before then. Though we have seen the one for cycle one pop up here and there, but it was just a photo of all of them, you know. So the theme of the first of cycle three is that kind of like a parody of the construction worker on the beam.
OSHA violation.
Whatever they did to Takara is an OSHA violation.
Yikerooney. Did they also give her weird contacts?
The weirdest thing about this is you can't tell who most of them are.
Ew.
I can tell who Amanda is. That Amanda energy comes right through. Who's upside
See,
down?
See, I've. Who's you upside know who down? I found first? Jennifer.
What?
Oh, you're right.
Uh-huh.
I gotta say, though, Kelly doesn't look that bad.
Cassie looks terrible.
I don't think Julie's arm is her arm.
No.
Julie also.
I don't know if any of Julie's body is Julie's body.
Julie is in mourning. Yeah, who is then, upside down?
Yeah, that you just saw me flip my phone. Who's that?
It is weird how different things look when they're upside
down. Oh, it's Nicole.
Nicole.
Still miss you.
I only knew that from elimination. I did not recognize her upside down.
Let's, because there's so many to get through. Yeah. So let's go to cycle four, whose tagline is dive in and also making waves. So they are, of course, underwater. Now, some of them are just on the ocean floor. Some of them are trapped to their death in bubbles.
Two of them.
Brittany is giving full Brittany energy right on the front.
You know what? Naima looks amazing.
Naima does look good.
Brandy does not want to be here on this day.
Also, Yuffie's kind of doing the pose she ends up doing for her fish photo that's so maligned. So Yuffie might just think this is what fishes look like.
Well, she wasn't wrong.
You know, it's a pretty good picture of Brandy.
Is that Tatiana next to Brittany?
Maybe. It is weird how hard it is to tell who some of these folks are.
Oh my God, look at Christina in the front.
Yeah.
That's Christina?
It's got to be, right?
What did they put in her hair?
Amazing.
Next one.
What does...
I like it enough, though. It's cycle five. They're in a jewelry box, and they're very gold.
But it looks like they're the borrowers.
I think about opening a box and finding it crawling with tiny little people, and I don't like it.
Also, there's no tagline, so there's no reasoning for why there are all these tiny people in a box. Also, everyone's just kind of, like, been, like, they've gassed. They've put, like, ether, like, chloroform or something. Everyone's real lazy in this photo.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true. Think... There's literally only one person who's standing up.
And even them are just like,
ugh. Kim is giving me a lot of pirates. Yeah.
The next one, cycle six.
Ouch!
The tagline, fairy tales come true, and they photoshopped, I assume.
I hope so.
Wings, and Jade is at the top, and they must have harnessed her to do this. Because she's fully in a flying pose.
Oh my God. Did they also put like Leia buns on her head?
Yes.
This Jade photo is bananas.
These wings are just all amazing.
Who was in the bottom right? With
that's
that
what I was just wondering.
Swoopy, because she's got one of the better poses for this idea.
Who is that?
It's so funny that we can't.
Veronica barely looks like she has a wing on. Veronica looks like she has one wing. Down in the bottom left-hand corner. Like, she felt like someone ripped her wing off, and now she's just sitting on the ground of the forest. This is, like, the worst Fern Gully, this photo shoot.
Yeah, it is.
The next one is an interesting non-theme of one.
Well, we had our... Tyra has taken over.
Yeah. Tyra's entered the chat.
And, the theme appears to be green.
No, Tyra gets to be green. Everyone else gets to be just earth tones.
Look at how they photoshopped Brooke's leg. Well, it is
Brooke
so long.
Brooke is also like clinging
long.
To that couch.
Ew. There is something so wrong about Brooke's ankle.
Look at what they did to these poor twins.
They look like haunted dolls.
Oh, this is so bad.
Also, is Eugenia, does she have a hand on her elbow?
These are all, I will say this, Carrie D and Melrose are probably two of the better people in this. Yeah. Like, two of the better ones in this. All right, next one. Kind of a similar theme in some ways to the fairy tales one, just in how they're styled. This one is Welcome to the Jungle, ladies.
Ladies.
And Mo down at the bottom.
I just...
What is that this purple one? Thing in the upper left corner?
Oh, is that a bird? A flower?
Yeah, oh my God, there's a peacock.
What?
Why is there a peacock in the jungle? Oh,
a clip art peacock. Not even a real peacock. An illustrated peacock.
I guess I'm glad they didn't go inappropriately further with jungle theme, but they also barely are styled anything. It's
just green
again. Yeah,
there's also just a lot of crotch.
Yeah, there are a lot of like panties and negligee.
Yeah.
Especially Samantha.
Oh my God.
Bodies all over the place. Next one, we go way different.
The future has arrived.
Now, I will say, I actually like this Tyra photo. I think there's something fun about Tyra's pose.
Yeah. I also will say, I think on the whole, people are modeling a lot better in this photo.
Well, this almost feels like, because wasn't this the cycle where they had the silver in the openings? This almost feels like this could have been their opening credit shoot.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly. They definitely didn't have this much going on.
It does kind of look like there are two Heathers because.
Yeah, sure.
It looks like Jenna on the far right is a clone of Heather, who is next to Tyra.
I get that.
Sure. I just didn't remember Jenna with this black hair. Yeah, Lisa looks pretty great, though.
All of these are always pre-makeover, which is good because you don't want that spoiled.
It's also one of Ambrielle's best photos.
Lisa was such a good model.
Mm.
Yeah.
The next one.
Oh, my God. This tagline.
New faces. New attitude. New York. And they're literally in their opening credits outfits. This is literally their opening credits outfits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I still think...
Except for the tagline, this is probably, like, thematically...
Sure, I'm going to say there is a distinct difference to what Katarzyna is wearing as opposed to the other people in this shot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Why does she get so little clothing?
Because they strangled her with veil.
I think Fatima looks pretty great.
Yeah. I think Dominique looks pretty great, too. But
do you like Stacey Ann's little gloves?
Oh, yeah, you know I do.
I think Anya still in this photo.
Now get ready for some tonal whiplash. Because next one for 11 is Fiercedelic, and it's hippie. And this one also interestingly includes the J's.
Oh.
that's a choice.
One of them looks like they're going to eat Miss J.
These shoes on Tyra.
Ooh. This is their intro looks too. I remember this heinous intro with headbands.
Leo looks like they are going to kill Tyra, and I love it.
Yeah, Leo's not having it.
Oh, that's a good pose.
It is a good pose.
I'm going to say this. Sheena looks not great. Sheena looks like she's falling into Leo.
Who's behind Sheena with the arms all the way up?
Isis.
Oh, yeah. Oh. What a strange pose to pick for Isis.
I would also say, who's the one by McKee? Is that Jocelyn?
Yeah.
Yes.
What a
fully just looking down. Rude.
Steak face they picked of Jocelyn, too. Like she's smelling McKee or something.
And then the final one is also their opening credits. Also their
iconically
opening credits.
The opening credits.
One of the worst.
I would be so mad if I were a contestant on the show and I was like, hey, everyone, they just let me know the first promo is coming out tomorrow and it's the wig shot.
And I'll say this, it stinks that some people are just more in the... This is the only one where the contestants are all on different levels.
And also Tyra is so huge.
Yes.
But imagine if you were Foe, who gets to be so teeny tiny.
Where?
Exactly. Way in the back right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what?
Good.
Why is she so
gravy?
She's like standing on top of names. Literally go out of my head. It's like she's standing on top.
Amina.
Of...
Yeah.
Amina.
I will say this though. Good London photo.
London looked the best because this just felt real London energy.
Oh, that was that. What a trip. What a trip.
That was fun.
Thank you so much, John. And yeah, I remember those used to come out. They used to also release the individual pre-makeover shots, too, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next one is from Emma Jane. So, hey, Emma Jane. Sometimes it randomly crosses my mind that y'all have adapted the word Chiron to Tyron and just use Tyron now with no context, and it always gives me a... hearty chuckle. I am currently working on a podcast and the subject matter is very heavy, so those laughs are very much needed and appreciated. Thank you.
That accidental slip that I canonically hated when it was said really has worked its way in.
Yep, and now it's gonna be the only thing that's on any piece of merch.
It's like how I can't hear killing it without thinking quilling it.
And why would you want to? Truly. The next one is from Meg, 1G for this Meg.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Cycle 12 conspiracy theory. Okay. It's not that exciting of a conspiracy, but there's a really fun pattern with season 12 and explains why both Beth Stern and Nolay Marin were brought on. Cycle 12 was in 2009, which was the same year as season 1 of True Beauty, a truly awful competition show about inner and outer beauty produced by Ashton Kutcher, and our very own Tyra Banks. Nolay was a judge for season one.
For True Beauty?
I know. And Beth Stern was a judge for season two. True Beauty
was two seasons?
How? Right.
True Beauty was theoretically supposed to trick its contestants into thinking they were being judged on their outer appearance, but being set up and put in situations that would allow the panel to judge their inner beauty and goodness.
So fashion punked.
This goes, I mean, Ms. Ashton, yeah. This goes exactly as well as you would imagine with someone like Nolay involved. And it also reminded me why they went to Ashton's restaurant. Ashton and Tyra also teamed up on this weird social media shopping website called The Hunt.
Ooh.
Just lots of weird connections I think were interesting and thought you might too. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I love this knowledge.
It is interesting when things were small side projects, failed shows, but were on at that time.
The remnants
were,
of it.
Things were constantly being backdoor piloted and cross-promoted. And to look at it now, I'm like, why is Nolay Marin back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, pretty plausible explanation. Here's one that there's two in a row that kind of have the same thing. So I want to read them both and then we'll have a hot discussion. So Gray reached out via Twitter. Hey, JW, I know you guys are getting a lot of stuff for the next mailbag episode, but I wanted to try to throw another question in the bag, if that's okay. Sure is, Gray. Here we
there's
are.
Room.
Yep. If you don't get to it, totally fine. Too late. But I'd be interested to hear everyone's answers. If you could select one contestant from another season to come in as a, quote, ringer, who would it be and how well do you think they would do against the girls? Rin was a bit of a misfire, but I'd love to see how someone like Jade from Six would have done. Love you guys. See you next Wednesday. And then right before that, oh no, that's the one. Never mind. It's the we have a double one. We have a double double. Clap clap. Coming up later. So yeah, anyone you would have liked to have seen maybe come in as like a, you know, if we did that version of reality television where like a vet came in to challenge the other folks. I mean, I feel like if Takara, who they bring back a lot anyway, came in, it would be kind of...
They would revisionist where it was like, we always loved Takara.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see how Anjali and Natasha would bounce off of each other.
Yes. Yes. I would also say, I'll throw into the mix, someone that will make anything fun are Lemons and Limes Empress Anya would make any season more pleasant.
I also think there's something, maybe if you brought back a ringer kind of as Gray is titling them, maybe someone who didn't necessarily do well on the show but then became one of those cover girls in action that's doing so well. So maybe even a Molly Sue. Where they're like, Molly Sue's grown. She went and did the work, and now she's back to compete again, you know, something like that.
I like it more of an early boot.
Yeah, I mean, that could be interesting. I mean, maybe that's going more into just a fantasy redemption cycle.
Maybe.
Can you also imagine Melrose having to deal with Alaysia?
Oh, hey, you know what? Melrose dealt with Monique. Melrose can literally deal with anyone.
I was just thinking, like, we know Melrose is crazy now. But it's just, you know, Alaysia and all of her youth and optimism.
And Melrose like, I still have to pay that landlord rent. I never got on the phone.
That's who I want to bring in. Melrose's landlord. They need the money. They need the money to, because they never got that rent. Oh, thank you very much for sending that in, Gray. Lovely. Next one is from James. We have two Jameses, two different things. This is the first James. Hello, I'm a huge fan of Podleadum. I love fashion photography. I love discussing the format and photo shoots of Top Model, but don't enjoy watching it.
Well,
just because that's not really how my brain works. Your podcast provides the perfect compromise. I've listened to every episode multiple times. I'm really excited to listen to your guys' coverage of Cycle 14. This is going to be a very unpopular opinion, but this cycle's winner is my favorite of all the cycles due to her look and journey. There are two things I wanted to bring up in the fan email to you guys, and I'm just going to... It was a great email, James, and we're going to go over the first thing you brought up. On the ANTM Reddit, there's an ongoing game called alt reality. The concept is, how would so-and-so do if they were on a different cycle? Would they have won against different contestants? Reddit user Balthamose, Balthamoz, randomized the contestants from all the cycles, and also sometimes later versions of Top Model 2, used their real-world portfolios to simulate cycles, and then did voting for people. It's been a really interesting experiment, especially seeing which contestants' post-show portfolios align best with Tyra Banks's, the subs, the idea of good modeling in the subreddit. You often get surprised. Now, without going into too much detail, here's a couple of contestants who have won seasons of this alt reality. And just, I think these are fun to hear. So Lisa Cycle 9 won once.
Yay! Great.
Won against runner-up to Kara. So, hey. Justice for both. Allison Cycle 12 won, and James wrote, duh. And I like this one. Amina Cycle 12 decimated, obliterated her cycle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Alina Cycle 11 won against Elise. Interesting.
Wild.
Lauren Bree Cycle 11 won against Chantel, who we haven't really met yet, but is a very successful ANTM alum. And because it's Chantel, not Chantal. Naima came very close to going home, but then killed the season second half. And then this is Fatima, cycle 10. But the cycle's vibes weren't ideal. I love it. So, and then the final one I'm going to mention, there's a lot that James listed, but the final one was Danny, cycle 6. The subreddit adores Danielle, so it's assumed she'd run away with any cycle. She was actually very nearly beaten by Stacey and JW. Yeah, so that's super fun. And some other folks too. Apparently, Aaron, cycle 13, Jasmine, Nicole. So a lot of people we liked,
yeah.
Which is really fun. This is a really fun thing. James recommends tracking down this on the Reddit if you're interested. And they've done like 30 cycles of this now.
Jeez, wow.
And they're about to do like an all winners one. So that's fun. Super fun. That's using Reddit for good purposes, and I love it.
Not usual.
I just, so you, the two of you know, I don't read it anymore, just because even though it's still mostly positive for us, I also kind of realize that in a fandom sense, I want Reddit to be a safe place for people to be able to say whatever they want about the show and discuss their likes and dislikes about Podleadum without them being like, oh, they're going to read this or whatever. But it is always nice that whenever someone does point something out to me, there's fans who have kept the receipt. So when someone is like, oh, they never said this, someone's like, absolutely they did, or whatever. So
timestamps.
Even though we don't read it that much anymore, guys, thank you so much for the people who are doing the work on Reddit for us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people sent this, but I'll shout out Ashley, who sent us this thing all about Cycle 9 Sarah talking about how they only got $40 as a stipend. Yes.
I know this because I follow Sarah because she's very funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with Podleadum, and like me, you guys love Sarah from Cycle 9 because you guys are obviously smart. So I want to pass this tweet along, Sarah Mel, if you will, about pay and food from the Top Model contestants. The food part is especially egregious to me, as eating food should be a skill on my resume. Love you guys and the show so much. XOXO, Ashley. And yeah, so Sarah said that the stipend was only, I think, $40 a week. Was what
Jesus
it was,
Christ.
I think.
And they had to buy their own food.
Yeah, which we know is true.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think it's interesting too. Yeah. Oh, it's $40 a day. Okay. Well, $40 a day.
So they're per diem. Their per diem is $40.
Mm-hmm. No residuals, and we had to pay for food.
Yeah, so. I find that I find it especially egregious. I'll always go back. The challenge. They clearly don't have to buy their food. That food is provided.
Oh, buffets and buffets.
Yeah. And it's so easy.
Especially on a show like this where you're going to have issues around eating and food.
Yeah.
The show should be provided. And they give such lip service in certain cycles to eating healthy and all this stuff. The fact that you are not providing any food.
And yes. And I would go so far as say now it's reframed that Kenya, for example, when she was, quote, stuffing her face. Yeah, she was eating food that was provided to them.
That she didn't have to pay for.
Now, do I think if you want something specific that the show maybe isn't providing? yeah, you can buy your own food. I don't really have a problem with that. But I do believe that your work, there should be some sort of crafty, some sort of dinner.
I also think that's why we probably see a lot of the pettier arguments start around food.
Yes. Yeah.
Like something as simple as leaving frozen peas and corn out can take a much bigger context when people are like, now I don't have any food to eat.
Mm-hmm. Or not being able to find energy bars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. They're like, that was a quarter of my stipend today. You know,
shitty diet brownies.
Julian via Twitter also said, hearing that Alexander is not a fan of Alexandra, I cannot wait for y'all to get to her having a lot of quote personality on the plane in New Zealand.
Oh no.
I think the clip is repeated 5 times in 5 minutes, so that should be the next episode after this.
Ooh. Oh no.
We'll send us something, subject line, future makeovers. In the mailbag episode, our last one, you guys discussed the possibility of a surprise pixie cut makeover. No spoilers, but from what I recall, that actually happens in a cycle you haven't gotten to yet. Keep an eye out. Ooh, I really don't remember that. Hillary says, mailbag episode plus, love you guys. Hey, I might be a little late for the mailbag episode. You're not. But I wanted to throw a question out there. Surprise! I'm curious as to who you changed your opinion most drastically on between your original watch and now this rewatch. I'm in my 30s like y'all. Thank you. And when I first watched all of these, I was pretty young and very taken in by the narrative sold by reality television. Mm-hmm. Now as an adult, I recognize all the shenanigans that go on. I wonder who you either hated on the first go round and now really like, or the opposite, someone you really liked who now seems terrible. And then Hillary talks a little bit about reading the Mr. J book, which is how they originally found us, and, you know, changing Hillary's idea of who Mr. J is. Also, I'm sure everyone says this, but you guys really are the best. I found you during quarantine, binged every episode, and am now re-listening. I look forward to Wednesday every week and listen first thing in the morning. It feels nice to know that there are other people out there as obsessed as I am with this garbage yet incredible show. They say some more wonderful things. And yeah, also they mention, I'm sorry you get sent random hate mail. I can't believe that someone takes the time to send hate mail about a Top Model podcast. Like, that's a level of sadness that's upsetting to think about. I will say that has dissipated somewhat. Yeah, when we called it out. Said something. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, some folks just need to know that their behavior is bad.
Weird.
But this is interesting. You know, we've talked a lot, especially after the Where Are They Now, about who our opinion has changed on and that kind of stuff. But does anyone come to your mind that you're like, wow, I really thought blank about this person, and now on a rewatch?
Especially when it comes to buying into the narrative the show tried to sell me, where I did it fully the first time around and then really realized what a false bill of goods it was. It's got to be Camille and Joanna.
Oh,
from the same cycle.
Classic.
I remember really rooting for Joanna the first time when I watched that as it was happening.
I remember thinking Joanna, like, gorgeous, stunning, perfect Joanna. Mm-hmm.
And Camille was the first true villain.
Yeah.
And now on a rewatch, you're like,
Camille
wow.
is iconic. Joanna is terrible.
Yeah.
And the show just does Camille so wrong.
Yeah, I think one person I think about, and I can't remember exactly how I felt about this contestant the first time, but I know it wasn't necessarily positive, was Dominique.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I feel like I really fell for the narrative traps that Dominique was presented in. And then on a rewatch, realized that I really liked Dominique and also her. I still don't think she was the best model on the show, but not the strongest portfolio. But I really liked her. And I also liked the way that she defended and presented herself when faced with conflicts and things like that. So she was someone, and I got to say in general, and I won't make any excuses for this, but I think a lot of the narratives of the contestants of color and were just the microaggression stuff and the more subtle forms of racism, whether in editing or from other contestants, were stuff that I just didn't pick up on. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, having just more experience and, you know, just being a little bit more educated on that stuff, and also having Alexander and Hannah here to have those discussions with, I'm noticing it more on the show when it happens. Yeah, and that was just something, you know, young JW just didn't pick up on all the time.
Oh, sure. I think I'm more basic and less insightful for me. Classically, Alexander was super excited for Katarzyna, and she was what a nothing of a person that ended up being.
It still boggles me that some people are huge Kat fans, and I'm just like, I don't get it. Everyone gets to pick their own favorites, but all right.
And I did have one unique experience of like feeling exactly the same way about someone until I felt completely the opposite. And that was the journey of Renee.
I would throw in the same kind of vein, because that's who I thought you were going to say. Eugenia. Yeah. That was another like the first half of that season. We were all like, no.
Why are you still here? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember not liking her. And then we got second half. I was like, why did we like Eugenia? Like, I got tricked in real time.
Well, Eugenia went from someone that, like, we didn't think should have been on the show because she had such a poor audition to us being like, I mean, if she had won, we'd have been okay with it. And I'm glad that Eugenia seems to have had such a successful career afterwards in the same field. So we get to just root for her there. But thank you so much for that, Hillary. Great discussion topic. The next one is from Sam. I found this fascinating. Hey, y'all. Just got done listening to the newest episode and wanted to reach out about the color of the disappearing perfume.
Ooh.
I myself am colorblind, although optometrists prefer the term color deficient, which I've never heard that before. It's interesting. And my type of color blindness is known as mild protan, P-R-O-T-A-N. Which is a type of red-green color blindness where the red cones in the eyes detect too much green light and not enough red light. The perfume honestly seems blue at times, but I see it more like a shade of lavender or something. Then again, what do I know about colors considering I'm an accountant?
Hey, you know red and black.
I was about to make the same joke. Thanks for all the laughs and an early Merry Christmas from Sam. Love it. Thank you so much, Sam. That is interesting.
I'm still going to be on the train of Tyra maybe doesn't know colors. Whether it's color deficiency or not, it's just maybe just doesn't know what colors are.
Needs to go to that color museum pop up. Next one. So we have now a threefer. Of people who sent us in fun top model spottings in other places. First one's from Mandy. Sharon Cycle 11. Just finished listening to your latest mailbag episode and didn't hear you bring this up, so I wanted to let you in on some slightly adjacent top model stuff. I just blasted through season 2 of Making the Cut. Amazon Prime, Hannah, in one day. That's who you are now. And during episode 6 video campaign, I was pulled out of my internet scrolling by a super familiar voice. I heard this voice and the phrase, I am America's Next Top Model, kept repeating in my head. Our own Sharon Brown of Cycle 11 fame is in this episode. The designer in question asked the model if she could write something to be read during the performance. And so it's extra special knowing that our ANTM alum composed the message. She looks amazing. If you want to check out the whole thing, Making the Cut, Season 2, Episode 6, and the segments around the 29-minute mark. Thanks for being my favorite podcast. I talk about it all the time to my friends who neither listen to Podlatum nor watch Top Model, so they're always bored and or exasperated. But just know I'm out here doing my missionary work for the cause. Keep being rad, Mandy.
Mandy, that was me with Smize Cream all summer.
Oh, God, yeah.
All of us. Anytime we're together in this time of distance, we get together and we're just like, everyone must hate us, right?
But also just seeing other people, I would have to give myself the don't spend the whole time talking about the next pep talk.
Our own party pep talk. This is from Rachel. Subject, Ebony from Cycle 5 on House Hunters International. Absolutely love the podcast. It's gotten me through the uncertainty of the pandemic we find ourselves in, knowing that I can rely on my close personal friends, Alexander, JW, and Hannah, to make me laugh every day. You're my number one podcast of the year on Spotify by a wide margin, because I've just been re-listening to favorite cycles over and over. You also got me to watch more Top Model than ever before. Top Model should seriously send us some, like, residuals.
Hey, if the contestants aren't getting residuals, we sure aren't.
I'll take $40 a day.
Marketing money from fucking Smize Cream.
For real. You're right, though. They're not getting it. Why should we? Since in real time, I stopped watching after the grueling slog of Cycle 10.
We felt that.
Without y'all, I wouldn't have made it to Cycle 13, whose winner went to my high school. Oh, then I wouldn't have been able to laugh myself silly, imagining her trundling through the tight hallways with an old rusty wheelbarrow.
Trundling is the perfect verb.
But the thing that finally got me to reach out was this. I was just watching a more recent House Hunters International episode and wondering why the wife of the couple seemed so familiar to me. And it finally clicked. It was Cycle 5's Ebony of Don't Get It Twisted fame. She looks amazing, of course, is working in tech, and has moved to Tours with her cute husband and three adorable children.
Aww.
She also had giant Star of David earrings on, but I wasn't able to find out if she was a fellow MOT like Hannah and me.
Is that... Chosen. Member of the tribe.
Thank you so much. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for the laughs, the unexpected deep thoughts, and the hilarious quotes that none of my friends get yet until I trap them on a road trip. Your podcast is truly the goodest and roundest of things. Thank you again. And remember, don't get it twisted. And finally, from Sydney in Portland Discovery. Hello, hello. I finally picked my jaw up off the ground to write this email while recently doing a rewatch of Vanderpump Rules. I promise this is relevant. I went down a rabbit hole. As some fans of that show know, Stacey, I believe that's how it's pronounced. Stassi,
maybe? I think it's Stassi.
Okay. Was on a previous reality TV show called Queen Bees. Ew. In this show, a number of mean girls compete in challenges with the goal that they become genuinely good people. Stassi lost. I decided to check out a YouTube clip of the show and imagine my surprise when Cycle 2 winner Joanna House was the host of the show.
Does she know she's the worst?
Can you imagine? Two of my beloved worlds colliding to form a truly hilarious moment in time. Thank you guys for a phenomenal podcast. Keeps me cracking up week to week. I look forward to the cycles ahead. Stay good. Stay round, Sydney.
Wow.
What a interesting choice.
Wild.
I just love that the theme of this is failed reality shows about true inner beauty.
Ooh.
We went through such a time in history for reality TV shows where we did a bunch of shows that were just about how hot are you?
Mm-hmm.
The Swan.
And literally that show where people just, a person walked out and they were like, 6.5 face and 7. It was just called like, Are You Hot? Like it was like nothing.
Sponsored by Hot or Not.
Yeah. And then we were like, got it. Pivot the other direction. And it was like, now can you be hot and good?
Beauty and the Nerd or whatever it was.
Because you still got to be hot.
Beauty and the Geek. Also produced by Kutcher, I believe.
I think so.
Why is this a thing?
Ashton Kutcher doesn't believe that one person could be both nice and hot.
Says a lot about Ashton Kutcher.
Which is so funny. They haven't met the three of us.
Oh.
All right. This is a Tyra post from a second James. Hey, guys. You may remember me from my iconic strawberry jam iTunes review, and I'm back with a vengeance. I've really been enjoying your coverage of the Petite Cycle, and I'm just emailing you to offer some intel. I could be wrong about this, but regarding the use of the contestants' blackface photos, yikes, for IMDb, I heard that IMDb purposely choose bad/compromising photos so that the actors have to pay an extortionate amount of money to get the photos switched or removed. I think someone did a post about this on the A&T and Reddit page if you want to do more of a deep dive.
That is some Yelp nonsense.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. To end on a lighter note, I just want to thank you all for amazing and hilarious commentary on one of the stupidest reality shows of all time. One of our consistent compliments is we're great. Our top model is stupid, but we all have watched every episode of it. Truly the bond. One of my fondest memories from childhood was watching Top Model together with my mom, and it's such a pleasure to be able to revisit the show every week. My Wednesday morning commute is one of the highlights of my week, thanks to y'all. Wishing you the very best, James/the artist formerly known as Strawberry J.A.M. Oh, thank you. That is... I wouldn't be surprised. IMDb is an interesting website.
Yeah.
And also, IMDb is something that if you are someone who's on there for anything, every so often, you should just check your profile because they'll just add
people
to it.
Yeah. Yeah, because what happens is if you have a kind of common name, people won't ask if that's you. So they'll just throw it on to whoever comes up.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron sent us two different things, and I took the best parts of it. The first is Aaron had a great, great name for a Smize cream flavor. Can't believe we didn't come up with this. The No Neck Cookie Monster.
Oh
my God, it's so much better.
And Aaron pointed out spelling monster the correct way, please.
I wonder if they had to avoid, I wonder if it was avoiding a licensing issue.
For real. The other thing Aaron mentions is just watch this compilation of Tyra's walks from the 90s. I agree with Alexander that by the time of the show, Tyra was not a good photo model. She was too obsessed with her image. And you should have seen Aaron. I wish you could have seen Alexander's face when I read the sentence, I agree with Alexander, and he snapped to attention. She was too obsessed with her image and smizing by them. But I think she can walk. I did think this was funny, though, since she would almost do the same double turn thing at the end of every walk. And to tell Mercedes that she posed too much at the end of the runway, please. Although I know it has a lot of problematic things she does, I always thought she was a good coach, good walker, not afraid to look stupid. I can definitely agree there, which a lot of the girls wouldn't do. One of the few times she was good at photo modeling was the T-Mobile shoot in Cycle 3. And then the girls got up there and biffed it. Thanks, Aaron. That was great. We got some merch suggestions from Bree. Hi. Just listen to the Tyra Vault spelled backwards episode. LOL. And y'all ask what kind of merch we would like to see. First and foremost, bobbleheads.
No, that's not merch. That's a gift that you, the listeners, need to make.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears.
Well, Bree says, get an artist to draw y'all as bobbleheads. An interesting idea. And then I just wanted to ask you to please include us plus size folks in your sizing if you do any clothing items.
Oh, sure.
I also like enamel pins. I'm with JW on Team Tiny Things. Love you all. Thanks for existing. Yeah, but I will say this. I read this and I thought to myself, wouldn't it be funny? We have shirts, and for the drop-down sizing menu, we put stuff like fiercely real.
Real unhelpful.
As long as there's a chart.
we use the top model contestants, and they are our chart. How problematic, how insulting. Peter said, I recreated the Cycle 4 photo shoots with my friend from high school. Get ready for a screen share, y'all.
Bless. Oh.
I thank you so much for a great podcast. Top model fan since I was in high school. Even persuaded my friend to recreate the photo shoots of Cycle 4 in our neighborhood. And had a newsletter recapping all the episodes and personal anecdotes. And found a lot of overlap in our coverage, so to speak. Is there any way I can send my old photos to you? Figured they'd be good for a laugh. And of course I said yes immediately. So I've shared my screen. This is the dog walking photo.
Walking their ferret.
The one where they're animals.
Yep. Yes.
Zebra. Perfect. The one where they're aliens with a car.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then
The gas station
water spraying, and they're like in a car wash with the long thing.
Would have had crush on this person.
That was so fun, Peter. Thank you so much. That was an amazing thing to share. And oh man, to recreate photo shoots. What a good friend to do that with you, truly.
To take your photo.
Yes. All right. Next one is from Daria. Brenda's weird eye makeup. Hi, folks. In the first episode of Cycle 14, you mentioned there was something off with Brenda's eye makeup. I immediately knew what you meant, but could not put my finger on what it reminded me of. Just watched the episode with a weird disappearing perfume shoot. What the fuck was that concept? Her makeup was pretty... I'm glad we were all on the same page, fans, yes, about that perfume. Her makeup was particularly bad, but it finally clicked. She looks like those god-awful Rob Liefeld Marvel women. And so she gave me something to Google. And y'all are absolutely not ready for this. She even pointed to go down to number 26, which I am scrolling to right now. Because it is
accurate?
It is accurate in a way that you are not prepared for.
Oh, God, yes.
This is, it was a Sue Storm?
Yeah, Sue Storm.
Is that the name of the, yeah. It is the exact eye makeup, eyebrows, everything. And yeah, this artist is known for not drawing human women or mutant women, for that matter, to or be people fair, we, real. There's
I'm assuming that was like 90s, early 2000s, because there was a real trend of crazy drawings of like, that's not a human. Even the men would be like muscles where there is no muscle.
Oh,
it would just
sure.
be like wall lumps. Of lumps. Mm-hmm. My favorite is how they've drawn Spider-Woman, where she has no spine, basically.
You don't
her
need
butt
it.
Is always in the air and wearing high heels.
Mm-hmm. Lord. Ideal body goals. Thank you, Daria. Got two left. This one is from this week's anchor.fm shout out, Carrie.
Middle of the episode, anchor.fm.
Snuck it in there. anchor.fm/podleadem if you want to become a sponsor like Carrie, who very specifically at the end signed it Carrie like cycle 6, not like cycle 20, whatever the other one was, 21. It was Kari.
Okay. Kari, yeah.
Yeah, but this is Carrie. Subject. Hot trash, absolute stinky garbage television that I'm obsessed with. Hey, y'all. First of all, love the pod. Love you all. New episodes are genuinely the highlight of my work week and have something to look forward to on Wednesdays. Makes Monday and Tuesday in my horrendously boring, unfulfilling office job that much easier. Like many other listeners, I grew up closeted in the South, loving Top Model. And named Carrie, I can't believe I missed my window to be on the show. Convinced it was the pinnacle of art, fashion, etc. And like many others, I didn't really have anyone to share this love with. I'm so grateful to live in a time where even though my friends and family maybe don't appreciate a lot of the same things I do, I can find comfort and laughs and big OMG yeah moments with the three of you. Even if it's just me in my car laughing to my steering wheel.
I hope it's really directed at the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Did you get that steering wheel?
Beep beep. Anyways, mushy stuff aside, I knew you guys watched some other questionable reality television, and I need to know something. Do any of you watch Selling Sunset? And then this is in all caps. Look, I know it's terrible, but my coworker told me to watch it so we'd have something to talk about. Then that little ding-dong never even watched it herself. So it's just one more hot, bubbling, trash juice reality show that now I'm hooked on with no outlet. Anyway, I just want to see if any of you watch, and if so, what are your feelings? My dream is for the three of you running a Selling Sunset podcast in addition to Podleadem. crossing on my fingers and toes. Thanks for reading. Thanks for everything you do. Can't wait to see what the future holds. I don't watch it.
No, the only reference I have of Selling Sunset is I think Trixie and Katya did a watching Selling Sunset episode for Netflix.
For Netflix, for YouTube.
Yeah.
I have a tough time with non-competition reality television.
Samesies.
Tends to not be my flavor.
The only non-competition reality show that I can tell you I watched full seasons of was Old School Real World.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yes. And even that's evolved into just watching the challenge. So it's like...
I mean, I just get my horniness met by other viewing now. For Baby Hannah, that was what Real World was all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know what you meant for a second, Hannah. I was like... They're not selling houses. I mean, do either of you watch something like The House Hunters or anything like that? Because that's not really a competition, but it's
I'm more of a food person yeah. than an HGTV person.
Oh, I will say we've all been lying because there is one that we watched. I know we've all watched. And that's Tabitha's Takeover.
True.
But that is true. Because...
I guess the competition was Tabitha v. Salon.
Pretty much.
But other than that, no. I watched
a fair amount of Extreme Home Makeover back in the day.
Sure.
For crying purposes.
I've watched Nate and Jeremiah by Design for crying purposes.
I'm heartless. I don't watch things for crying purposes.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about home makeover shows that I both love, but also I don't like the fact that the solution to every problem is just have a ton of money.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I did watch a lot of? Say Yes to the Dress.
Really?
I did watch a lot of Say Yes to the Dress. I did.
That's one of those that I feel like is so popular that everyone knows the title of the show, but I've never watched an episode of it.
And Say Yes to the Dress, Atlanta.
I have watched not
where moms are mean in a different way.
I have watched not very extensively. What's the one that Niecy Nash hosted eventually?
Where they got Clean House.
I watched a lot of Clean House.
But I think it's very specific to like home and makeovery kind of shows.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I don't watch any kind of like Real Housewives.
All of these are still a project, right? They're still
a goal. Something's,
I've never watched a Real Housewife.
Or Trading Spaces, because what's her name got crazy on that show.
I love compilations of the worst reveals on Trading Spaces, because they would just let them destroy those houses.
Sand.
Yeah.
Dump sand in.
Oh, yeah.
Stapled fake flowers to a bathroom.
All right. Thank you so much. Sorry we won't be able to create that Selling Sunset podcast, but I hope you'll stick together with this one. The last email is from Martin. Martin sent a wonderful, long email that I'm going to forward to both of you, but I wanted to read the highlight first that I took out from it. So, first part is a theory on Sheena. Okay, Sheena from Cycle 11. I wanted to throw this out there because I know on recap, you struggled to understand why Sheena was treated so poorly. Simple. The hypersexualization of Asian women. Due to the pandemic, many Asian women communities and advocates have begun to discuss the fetishization of Asian women in media. There is a long history of Asian women being seen as these, quote, exotic creatures that have, quote, super Asian secret to steal your man. It is the unconscious bias these judges and people have about the Asian community. So on that cycle, to see every judge swim in the low-key racism was sad. I just want you to understand my passion for this podcast, because when people ask for the definition of Martin, Podleadum is up there. I just love listening to this podcast, love entertaining my friends with it. Podleadum helps me just make it through the day. Stay fierce, because I love the roundtable discussions you guys have. I love when Miss Hannah Jane will not let either of you just skim over something she feels strongly about. I love her theory that Naima was an old jazz man. I love Alexander Price not wavering from an opinion like his disdain for wiggly legs, Katie.
Hate her to this day.
I love that JW got so moist for Brent Bower that on the Cycle 9 recap, he went on a full 5-minute tangent update about him that no one asked for.
We know Martin's feelings about Brent Bower.
Steady cam pans. So listen up. Merch ideas. I've got two Tyra 2 list. It's 4 ideas, but that's not on brand. Either stress balls with the phrase, it's good, it's round.
Oh, yes.
Fun. Or a t-shirt with the word respeto on the front and on the back, except you, Umiboshi. So dumb. And then,
see, but I feel like that's not a Podleadumism, unfortunately.
But the stress ball, great. And then either hats, visors, etc. with the phrase apologize to this hat, or instant brownies that I already have clean your shit written into it.
Oh my god, but this gave me an idea. This is so stupid. Hats that just say I'm a trap.
I love
classic
it.
Hat.
I love it so much.
What about a hat that just says Alexander? Does that have legs? Ooh. That have wiggly legs?
Wiggly legs.
Does that have
it's got wiggly legs, but they're wiggly.
There was also a question that a couple people circulated that I want to end this with.
Well, hold on. Before we do.
Ooh, sure.
To throw in the Sheena discourse, because I actually think it's very interesting.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, and I think it's super valuable insight.
It plays into something I've, as an adult in the current world, have noticed a lot more, especially in reality TV shows, that there seems to be a idea or a stereotype of when Asian contestants are on, especially like competition shows, the first word that always comes out of people's mouths to describe them are they're sneaky.
Ugh.
And it's gotten real bad. Even on the most recent season of Survivor, Erica got this like weird sneaky edit from the other contestants where like, we didn't see that. And I think it plays into that same kind of idea of like they've got something that they're hiding. It's just really gross. And it's like, I feel like one of the next things that we really kind of have to, as a society, kind of confront.
Sure.
It's absolutely a lot like more invasive and pervasive than first thought. yeah. or like noticed. So thank you for that, for pointing that out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think too that sometimes I feel like I wonder if because Sheena had kind of an outgoing personality and that she was very comfortable, if in some ways they felt like it gave them some ability.
Permission.
To do. And I think that's just, it's such a shame when you see that, mm-hmm. that it really falls into almost that like a victim blaming narrative, right?
Yeah.
Of, well, it's almost like if you dress that way, you're going to be called this kind of mentality yeah. that I feel like there's a part of me that thinks she just talking about Sheena specifically.
Oh, Sheena specifically. Yeah, for yes. sure.
Yeah, that they were like, well, that's, you know, I remember even that podcast that they just immediately stopped seeing Sheena and started seeing like Kamoralee Simmons or something. You yes. know what I mean? Like we mm-hmm. talked about that and like
a podcast.
Yeah.
Huh? Podcast?
On our podcast.
Oh, on that episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing we do.
I thought you were talking about another podcast.
Alexander, did you not know that this has been a podcast the whole time?
Yeah. No, me, the person that has to listen to it three times, didn't know it was a podcast.
Where did you think it was going?
Into my ear hole.
So a couple of people have asked this question over time at different things. And one, and I think this is a great
time to finally address it.
Time to finally start the, but it is an interesting one, which is people, I think some people didn't realize this before, but we have talked multiple times answering the question that yes, we were indeed friends before this podcast. And they've asked, is there anything surprising that you've learned about one another from doing the podcast? And one thing I'll start with is that I didn't necessarily know Hannah as well as Alexander.
Sure.
And one thing I've learned is that in terms of like childhood growing up media references, me and Hannah felt like we are the same person in some ways.
Yeah.
And it's so fun because we all share different things. Like, you know, we could have three circles in the Venn diagram of what we all
like. And top model was the middle.
Exactly, the one middle one. But it's been so fun to learn just how many references Hannah and myself have like mm-hmm. in common that I wouldn't have known if it probably if not for the podcast.
Yeah.
I would say it's been a journey of discovery of Alexander's obsessive tendencies and how he employs them in the name of research. Because yeah. like every once in a while I can like sneak in on an extra deep dive, but like how like nobody has ever dived deeper than Alexander.
I'm a great swimmer
into a subject. And for JW, it was finding out the statistician side, the numbers, the numbers. JW,
the top
was
model
the,
math
one of the real big yeah. discoveries of doing this podcast with you.
I feel like this is so stupid, but I feel like I've been more open about how much I love math ever since doing the podcast because like, I don't know. People see comedians sometimes as dum-dums, and I just don't bring it up a lot. Like, the first, I used to be like, oh, I'm an econ major. I was a math major. I concentrated in game theory. And people always have the same reaction of like, really?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know they don't mean it in a bad way. They're just used to people in this career field being like theater majors or whatever. And there's no, like, no negatives to that. It's just, it's not what they're used to hearing. Mm-hmm.
It's hard for them to compute it.
Yes. Yeah. Ironically, it's so easy for me to compute it.
I guess as the Nexus friend of the trio originally, ooh. I knew both of you pretty well. I will say, JW, you are correct. I did not realize how similar you guys were on your early media interests. So I guess what I've learned most is I'm funny.
How dare you? That was not in the spirit of the event.
Have to stay on brand. And if you think we're funny.
I was going to do one about you because I'm going to make it real, even if you're not going to,
Alexander. And if you want to stay on our brand.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Can I tell this story? Because this will say a lot about who Alexander is.
Oh my God.
So yes. I did a show in Kentucky a few years ago where I was one of the older people in the show. And the very last show, before we went on stage, one of the young people that I didn't necessarily get along with, shocking, said, made us all circle up, literally right before the show went on, made us all circle up and say, pick a person and say something nice about them.
Oh.
Okay. Guess who was the last person in this circle. Guess who no one said anything nice about?
Oh.
So it got to me, and I had to say, well, since no one said me, I guess I like myself, and I hated this, and walked away. And then the couple friends I had, the show came over, and they're like, I'm so sorry. I didn't even notice. And I was like, it's fine. It's fine. So sometimes Alexander has to boost himself up.
I'll boost and say, though, that, like, I don't know. I have seen you both, and we've talked about this on the podcast, but also in person a little bit. Like, you know, I'm so comedy focused in the stuff that I do in my real life, and seeing both of y'all's sensibilities as comedians grow and change and evolve and like be unique voices is really special to me. I love it. I love it when. stupid. I love to laugh.
I love it when my friends come over.
Laughter and jokes.
I do find them humor.
And if you find us humor, rate, review, subscribe, send a carrier pigeon, do some semaphore, send things to our PO box.
Yeah, or our email. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, rate us on Spotify. That's a thing now, I think, probably.
Absolutely.
You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
Come say hi on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
I'm on Twitter at JW Crump.
And be sure to use the hashtag Podleadum. Otherwise, I will have nothing to eat. We're going back to that one. Mm-hmm. So for Podleadum, I have been Alexander Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
Podleadum is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.